Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome to My Big Idea, the podcast where each week we speak to a young female entrepreneur. I'm Danielle Radoichen, and today I'm talking to Becky Tong. She's the director and co-founder of music company Juicebox, a travel writer and an intrepid DJ. Here's Becky's big idea. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Danielle.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me on this lovely Monday.
How was your weekend?
It was good, thanks. It was very chilled. I had a Dorset weekend. I love my countryside escapes.
Is that something you do often?
Recently, I've been doing it a lot just to get reset for, like, I always now have, like, really intense weeks, and I find it almost weekdays are the new weekends, and I find that there's just more happening during the week, so now on the weekends I like to go somewhere.
Yeah, because I imagine you at weekends being out at festivals or club nights. Work, is that what you consider to be work?
Yeah, it is work, but I guess festivals have finished now, and club nights, I find the best club nights are now, you know, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and sometimes Tuesdays. I mean, last week I was out on a Monday, which was weird, and I was,
what was,
like,
that for?
There was two gigs. Mabel, do you know Mabel, new singer? No, Mabel, she's a new singer, like R&B pop artist. She was doing a secret showcase in Dalston, and then I went to see Dua Lipa at Coco. She was headlining.
Just over the road.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it is. It is just over the road, yeah.
So let's talk through what you're wearing. You look very cool today.
Thank you. That's very sweet. It's all ASOS, pretty much, without meaning to. But I guess I just love these sort of, like, frayed denim jeans at the moment. Very comfortable, quite baggy. Then, like, a sort of preppy... sometimes I like to think that it's like a bit of an officey shirt. But
so that shirt is from the new Noir collection for ASOS, right?
Charmadine.
It's like a blue and white stripe. With, I think the thing that makes that cool is the pearl buttons.
I know, definitely.
Love it.
Because I have the same shirt, but without the pearl buttons. And it's, yeah, the pearl buttons make
just not
it.
Quite the same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, the pearl buttons just make it.
A bit of choker action?
Pardon?
Bit of choker action
oh,
going
yes.
on.
Oh, yes, yeah. This is my flash trash. My friend Amber gave this to me. Very nice, like, black string kind of tie choker.
And you've got the Gucci loafers on, and we were just talking about those before.
We a must-have right now.
But I like the way you're wearing them with those fishnet socks. How long do you think you're going to wear those before it gets too cold?
That's a good question. So this morning I was asking myself the same thing. I was like, can I get away with it? I'm going to try and... Well, they've already got loads of holes in them, so they're probably not going to last very long. So I'm going to keep wearing them until I can't wear them anymore. Yeah.
So let's talk a bit about Juicebox.
Yes, Juicebox.
Tell me what got you to the point where you are today, where you launched it. What's the backstory?
So the backstory is I started working at a record label Sony Records, when I was 18. I didn't go to uni. I completely boycotted that whole thing.
Why was that?
I guess... Well, I did try it for like 6 months, I'm not gonna lie. I tried the Art Foundation at Chelsea, and just got six months in and was like, actually, you know, art is a massive, you know, love and passion of mine, but music is also, and I just wanted to explore music a little bit more, and also realize that you don't have to go to university to find your passion, really. Like, you can just meet people and they'll inspire you to get into it straight away. So that's kind of what happened. I met someone who was looking for an intern at Sony Music, and I just was put my hand up for it straight away, and then I guess that just led me in further and further into the music industry. And I guess after maybe 3 years of getting really good experience and as to how to put out records and to set up artists and give them the right platform that they need to exist and everything like that, I realized I wanted to kind of do it on my own and have my own kind of brand and company to do that with. So that's when me and my business partner decided to leave together and set that up, and we've only been doing it for a year, so we're still in early kind of stages, but we're constantly building and changing and progressing, and it's really exciting right now.
So Juicebox does a few things, doesn't it? Like music curation, you manage artists.
Yeah. It's a record label. Press,
radio promotion. So how do you fit into that? What's your day-to-day job like exactly?
I guess my side of my strong point is probably the radio, PR, and managing artists. We pretty much work across everything. I guess my thing is I bring a lot of new talent into the business, so I'm always on the hunt for like new artists, and I'm always listening to new music constantly, like SoundCloud, Spotify, like DJ mixes, like even going out, you know, hearing it first, you know, live and everything like that. That's what I do. And then
That's Adam Callan, your business partner.
Yeah, Adam Callan's my business partner, and he's much more like developing the artists once we have them and giving them, you know, advice on how to make things sound. And he's got much more of a musical background in terms of making music, and he's a lot better at that. So it's a really good balance, and yeah.
What's your advice for people? Well, now let me rephrase that. How do you go about finding that new talent?
What, finding something interesting in new talent?
Yeah, like how do you know where to go, where to find them?
That's a good question. I guess mostly it's always online. It starts online for me, like, you know, find it either like looking on Facebook and seeing that a friend posted something. I always like check it out, and or a blog posted about something.
What kind of blogs are your favorite ones to look at for that kind of thing?
My favorite blogs are, I love, there's a blog called Indie Shuffle. I think it's American based, but they have really good taste. They post stuff really, really, really early, like pretty much before it's been heard. They've already posted it, so that's really cool. I also love blogs like, I mean, oh god,
are there hashtags on social media that are good to search for, or any accounts on Instagram or something?
Yeah, I think actually if you go on Spotify and you follow playlists by like Triple J, which are an Australian radio station, they are really good at like new artists. Also like Pitchfork, they have an amazing festival and blog. They're really good at new artists as well. So those are just two things that I look at for new music.
And when you're looking for new talent that you might want to develop, what are you looking for?
I'm looking for an interesting sound, like either a voice or a production that really catches my attention, something that's really quality and stands out and original, not trying to copy kind of what's in the charts right now. I'm usually just looking for something like really fresh, because I listen to the radio and I just hear like the same songs over and over and over again, and even though I'm really glad that they're really having loads of success, I want to find the next thing and I want to like be on that. So I guess the new, yeah, just anything quite interesting that I haven't heard before, and looking out for the technique and production and songwriting. I'm always like
And once you've found someone that you think, oh, this could be good,
yeah.
What's the next step? Do you set up a meeting with them?
I do, yeah. I either try and get in contact straight away, seeing if they have management, see if they have a label or a publisher or any kind of structure around them. I kind of immediately look at what they've got, and if there's nothing, I just, you know, tweet at them, go stalk them, track them down.
And what do you offer them?
I guess what we offer them is that initial, you know, that help getting them from A to B, I guess. It's so important to get those first steps right in your career, in terms of setting up what you're doing. I think it really, you know, people always look back at, let's say, what Sam Smith did with, you know, the disclosure feature first and putting out just really cool stuff first, and then he went on and did his like big pop stuff. I think that's just like one example. Many people have done it, but I think the first kind of like, you know, 18 months of your career, you've got to be on point with what you're doing in terms of setting up what you're about. So I guess we just help make that story and create that story, and helping them with collaborations, artwork, art direction in general, finding their, you know, their look. And if they've already got that, that's great, and that's really exciting to work with artists who also know really what they want and what they look, you know, look to do and look to make a difference in the industry. So we just kind of facilitate what they want as well. So it's just, it can work both ways.
Can you give me some examples of people that you've been working with recently?
Yeah,
since you launched.
One really good example, I guess, is we managed my brother, my older brother. He's a bedroom producer, and only in the last year he's decided to really push his artist project.
What's his name?
His name is Joe Hertz. You can listen to him on Spotify and SoundCloud and all that stuff. But he's just starting to get, you know, his artist project set up, and, you know, he's getting some amazing blogs, you know, like Wonderland and Notion and all these people posting about him, as well as Radio 1 DJs supporting him. And I think we're starting to put, like, you know, doing his first music video was really exciting. Making the EP that he's just put out was really exciting. So, yeah, that's just one example of what we've just done recently.
So it's a lot of sort of work. You work with your family. That's, yeah, because your dad is Pete Tong.
Yes.
I think it's worth probably mentioning. Yes. And I was going to ask you about that, because I know I read an interview recently with Kendall Jenner where she was saying on about how, because of who she is and because of her family and how she's been really famous and on TV since she was about 11, people just assume that her successful modelling career has just come really easily to her. And she said that actually the reverse for her was true. Like, she's had to work really, really hard to prove that she's serious.
Yeah, definitely.
And I was wondering what your thoughts were about coming from having a father who's obviously a really established, successful DJ.
Yeah, I think at first it was like, everyone was like, oh, obviously, you know, your dad is the one that got you your job in. And I was like, actually, no, he had kind of no idea I was doing it, until I was like, oh, by the way, I've got like an internship at Sony. And he was like, really? Why would you want to do that? The music industry sucks. No, I'm joking. I think he's definitely inspired me in terms of like getting into music at first, obviously. But I think you do have to prove yourself a little bit more, and you do need to show people that you're your own person and that you actually are good. And Kendall's probably the same, and she is good. So, yeah.
So do you think your dad inspired you to become a DJ? Did you go to gigs with his and stuff?
That is, yeah, that's an interesting one, because DJing is something that I'm always a bit like secretly cringed out by.
Really?
Because as much as I really enjoy it, like, it really is like one of those things where it's like, that's his legacy, and I'm never gonna try and, you know, try and get to that point. But DJing was such like a natural, it came about so naturally, as my friends were like, can you play some music at my birthday party? And I was like, yeah, because they liked what I was into and they wanted that. And then, so I had to learn, and then I told I was with a model agent, my model agent, who I'm still with, but I told them that I was doing that, and they were like, oh, why don't we make this into a thing? And I was like,
Model slash DJ.
Yeah, as in, like, why don't we see if people would want you to DJ at, like, fashion parties and stuff? And I was like, oh, that could be interesting, like, maybe, not thinking that it would happen. And then, you know, I got an offer in, like, a week later, and they were like, okay, we've got an offer in, do you want to DJ? And I was like, and then it just kind of snowballed, and it was very natural, but at the same time I do enjoy it, and it has opened a lot of doors in terms of meeting amazing people and in the industry, and yeah, it's been good.
What's your advice for someone who wants to become a DJ but doesn't know how to go about it?
Yeah, I think becoming a DJ, you have to have, now in this day and age, there has to be so much going on, like, you have to do loads now to really, like, be noticed. So having your own, like, identity on Instagram and social media is really important, so people can, when they see you, they can go and see what you're about. The fact that you know somehow get, like, a residency, I don't know, at a club night that has, like, a bit of a scene or a culture, is really important to get noticed. I guess just putting yourself in those situations, and then it can kind of grow from that. And yeah, just keep plugging away. That's it. Keep plugging away.
And so back to Juicebox. Is it making money yet?
It is making money.
How does it make money?
It makes money because people pay me to do PR, and also the artists that we have signed on a label, they're streaming, obviously, money from streaming, money from people buying the music comes back into the business. So that's how it makes money. The artists that we manage also make money from, like, DJing out at gigs and stuff like that.
And then you take a cut of...
Exactly,
that,
we take 20%.
Do you do the finances, or who...
Adam is all about the finances.
You've got a money man.
He's so good at that. I'm literally just like, okay, you tell me what's going on. But obviously, the focus is to grow it all and for it to all be making a lot more.
Yeah, where do you see it going?
I think right now, we're always changing, like, our focus. So, you know, like, I think right now I see the label really taking off, signing more artists to the label and building that brand, and having, you know, maybe one or two releases a month that are, you know, doing really well on streaming, and that money will just come back into the business. So, as well as keeping the PR rolling, and I'm just hoping one thing will just go, and then that will be the thing that, you know, makes a lot of money. I don't want it to all be about money, though, but yeah, sometimes it is. You have to think about those things.
Well, you've got to eat, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So finally, what are your tips for music at the moment? What are you listening to?
I am listening to a new rapper called Jay Prince. He's amazing. A new singer-songwriter called Tom Misch. Don't know if you've heard of him. He's very, very good. And obviously, this new Solange album, Beyonce's sister, she's phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, I was watching that video while I was having my nails done at the weekend.
Oh, yeah, it's an amazing video.
She's doing all those crazy dance moves.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. Yeah, I'd love to work with her.
Have you approached her?
I haven't, but I think one day when we have the right thing, I will.
And what about what music festivals should we be booking tickets for next spring and summer, do you reckon?
I'm definitely going to go to Worldwide Festival in France. Apparently that's an amazing festival. Bit of sun and just amazing music. What else? I mean, Glastonbury, I would say book tickets, but it's all sold out. So, I mean, I definitely want to go to that because I missed out on it this year. And then the following year is the fallow year, so I need to go now. I love Bestival. Bestival is one of my favourite festivals as well. So I book tickets for that because I think that's going to be another strong year next year as well.
Cool. Yeah, sounds good. All right. Well, thanks so much, Becky.
Thank you so much.
Good luck with it all.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Becky Tong talking about her big idea. I'm Danielle Radoichin. Tune in next week to hear more My Big Ideas. And don't forget, you can download previous episodes on your favourite podcast app. You should also check out the ASOS magazine podcast, These Four Walls. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run FutureTools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of Lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.